This year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us an unusual gift. Not unusual in the sense that we don't have it ever. It happens actually pretty often in terms of the calendar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us an opportunity this year not to really observe Tisha B'Av. The 9th of Av, which was today, was Shabbos Kodesh. And that means that we were able to drink wine, we were able to eat meat, we were able to have Shabbos. We spoke about this morning for those who were here. We were able to have Kesudas Shlomo B'Shaso. We were able to enjoy Shabbos the way that it's supposed to be enjoyed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to us, he said to Klal Yisrael, he said, I don't want you to observe Tisha B'Av this year. And that's a significant thing. We have to think about that. To think about what that means. I know it's not the first time in history that it's happened, but we have to think in Tavshin Pei Beis. We have to think about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to us when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pushing aside Tisha B'Av. Rebbe has an opinion in the Gemara that in a year like this, then it's over. Once it's nidcha, it's nidcha. Once it's canceled, it's canceled. We might as well continue to move past it. There's different explanations why that is. But Halacha tells us that on Motzei Tisha B'Av, even in a year like this one, so now the avoda of mourning, the avoda of trying to connect ourselves to Chorban, it all begins. And we have to think about what that avoda is, because again, we didn't observe Tisha B'Av this year. Tisha B'Av was Shabbos Kodesh. Rabbi David Foreman shared that one time he went to a museum and it was an exhibit of Pulitzer Prize winning photographs, the best reporting, the best photographs. He said it was very interesting to see how all of the winning photographs, all of the winning pictures were all pictures of suffering and horrible sadness and tragedies. He said, but there was this one picture that really caught his eye. He's looking at this picture of a Cambodian woman, a refugee, who's trying to make her way across this rushing river. And she's clutching her child under her arm. She's grabbing onto a tree branch. The water, he said, is kemat up to her neck. This raging river. She's trying to protect her child, forging her way through this rushing water. And he said, you could see in the picture, it's such a powerful picture of this woman. She's reaching out. She's extending her hand, trying to grab onto something, and it's almost, he said, it's almost as if she's reaching out through this picture. You almost want to grab onto her hand. And as he's looking at this picture, he starts thinking to himself. He says, "Hold on a second, someone took this picture. There was a photographer. There was someone behind that camera." Meaning, when this woman was struggling to save her life, to make it through those waters, to protect her child. And you're looking at this picture and you feel like I could grab this woman's hand to provide her safety. You pause for a second and then you say, hold on, but there was someone who was there. There was a guy on the other side of that lens who's taking this prize-winning picture. And he said, it struck him, like, why did the cameraman not throw down his camera and go save this woman? He was there. He was watching it unfold before his eyes. You know, a reporter has that gift of being that dispassionate third-party individual who's able to be objective, so to speak. But a reporter has to be a human being also. You have to be a person who's able to look at the tsaras and to say, you know what? It's not a time to be that dispassionate third-party, third person, but I have to throw myself into the story. Whether I like it or not, I showed up maybe to win a prize, to do some objective reporting, but it's not appropriate. It's not appropriate to sit here at a distance watching the suffering and watching the difficulty unfold before my eyes and to just try to capture it through my lens. Rabbi Foreman said, if you look at the first two prakim of Eicha, Yirmiyahu and Navi is like a reporter. But pay attention as we read Eicha tonight. Yirmiyahu and Navi is painting a very poetic picture of what he saw, this anthropomorphized vision of Yerushalayim, a young maiden who's struggling. There were young maidens who were also lo aleinu taken advantage of, and the young bachrim are, those are real people also. But a lot of the way that he paints the picture of, you know, this, again, this anthropomorphic image of Yerushalayim and the walls crumbling, and he paints it as a woman and her husband. It's a very poetic rendering of everything that's happening. Those are the first two prakim. Yirmiyahu Navi, who of course was very much in it, but reporting from the sidelines. And then you come to the third parak. You come to the third parak, and it's a different thing. Even the way the psukim, these short staccato type of psukim, it's almost like a person trying to catch his breath, and it loses that poetic flavor, and it's much more raw. That's why Yirmiyahu HaNavi begins the third parak of Eicha that we'll read, Ani Agever Ra Ani. I'm the guy. I'm the person who saw all this. I'm not just a reporter who's capturing history. I was in the suffering. I saw all of this, b'shevet ever so. I saw the rod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wrath. I saw it with my own eyes, and I was in it. It's very personal. All of a sudden, there's like this shift. It's not, he throws down his microphone, so to speak, from the sidelines, and he says, hold on, I have to tell you what this really felt like. Some of us, before davening this morning, we're learning a piece of Esh Kodesh, the very last piece in the Sefer, Shabbos Chazon, 1942, the Holy Piazetzner Rebbe, describing the difference between knowing of suffering and seeing it. Chazon Yishayahu. Chazon is a harsh prophecy because it was so clear to him, you could see it, and when you see it, when you're in it, it's a totally different thing. You're experiencing it in a totally, totally different way. It's no longer that objective third person poetic rendering, a picture on the wall. But it's a person who's suffering, who's going through that tragedy. Rabbi Foreman said, this is the avodah of Tisha B'Av. This is exactly what we're trying to do tonight. We're trying to not experience Tisha B'Av as outsiders who are chazering over Jewish history, who are watching it from the sidelines, who are thinking about what it might have been like, but we're trying to put ourselves into the story. We're trying to experience it as our story, not to watch it from a safe distance from the sideline. Now, if we were to ask ourselves, if I were to ask you, how well do you remember the Churban? So you'll say, it's a very strange question. What does that mean to remember the Churban? I wasn't there. So I'll ask a different question. If I ask you, how well do you remember Har Sinai? How well do you remember the experience of standing by Har Sinai? Pasuk says, this coming week's Parsha, Lo es avoseinu koras Hashem es habris hazos. Literally translated, Hashem didn't give the covenant to the avos. Rashi adds the word bilvad. It wasn't only them. But the literal reading is, no, it wasn't even them. Ki itanu anachnu eila po hayom kulanu chayim. Ponim b'ponim dibra Hashem imachem bahar mitocha esh. Now I understand it's Moshe Rabbeinu talking to people who were the children of those who stood at Har Sinai. But what's the Torah speaking? What's the Torah saying to us? Because this pasuk has to be read for us also. Rabbi Dvarim Perach Chavtes, V'lo itchem levadchem anochi koris es habris hazos, v'sa'ola hazos. It's not only them. Ki es asher yeshnu po imanu omer hayom, lifnei Hashem elokeinu v'es asher einenu po imanu hayom. Those who are here, those who are not here, says the Medrash Tanchuma and Parshas Nitzavim, our neshamas were there. You say, I don't remember being there. Your body wasn't there. It's true. Your body wasn't there. But the neshama of every single Jew was at Har Sinai. And therefore, the Torah tells us, remember what happened at Har Sinai. Remember, I wasn't there. How can I remember what happened at Har Sinai? My neshama was there. My neshama understands what it meant to be there. The Yom Tovim. The Yom Tovim, when we recall, when we recollect, when we try to re-experience in real time what we went through. Mishnah, the 10th parak of Psachim. Bechol dor v'dor chayev adam liros es atzmo ki'ilu hu yatzim imitzayim. So what's that ki'ilu? It's just this, I'm a total outsider. I'm supposed to put myself into the story, to relive it as my story, as something that I'm experiencing. And that's not only true for the joyous moments like Kabbalah Satorah, it's not only true for the Yetziah from Mitzrayim, because you know the Mishnah before that in Psachim. Maschil b'gnosu mesayim b'shavach. We have to do the bad part also. We have to put ourselves into the bad part of the story, to relive the painful part of the story as well. So Tisha B'Av, which is the strangest of our Yomim Tovim, it's also a Moed, as we'll read in the first parak of Eicha. Not a Yom Tov in the simple sense, but it's an encounter. And just like on Pesach, we tried to relive it. And just like on Chanukah and Purim, we tried to relive it, we tried to re-experience it. We go back to that time. Sha'osa nisim la'avosenu b'yamim ha'ayim bazman hazeh, in our time as well. So Tisha B'Av, we have to ask ourselves, how do I remember it? When I read it, am I reading someone else's story? Am I an outsider to the whole thing? Rabbi Adin Steinsaltz, whose yahrzeit just was, wrote a book called Chaye Olam. This is drashos, in English, translated talks on the Parsha. In the Hakdama, in his introduction, he has a remarkable paragraph. He writes, he says, in early versions of the Gemara, the following inscription was added to the title page of each Masechta. Everything that is written here about non-Jews refers not to contemporary non-Jews, but to the non-Jews who lived in past times. In other words, when the Jewish people realize that they're going to burn our Gemaras, and they're going to beat up Jews and kill Jews for rebelling against the king or the czar or whatever governing body there was at that time, so they started to put the following inscription in the title page of the Gemara. You should just know, if you read something here about how a Jewish person treats an Ovdei Avodah Zarah, that's not the modern Gentile. That's some backwards-thinking pagan of old. And don't try to malign us and slander us and say, oh, look how the Jews are spreading this propaganda, rebellion against the government. None of that has to do with the contemporary non-Jew. Says Rabbi Steinsaltz, in the title page of Torah literature published today, similar disclaimers still appear, but they're invisible. You've never actually read this. You've never seen this with your eyes. But there's a Yetzirah that's there. Listen to this. They read as follows. Everything that is written here about Jews refers not to contemporary Jews, but to Jews who lived in past times. For this reason, it's a relatively simple task to sit and study Chumash, Gemara, or Musar literature, since the information contained in these works doesn't apply to us or to our generation, but to other people in other times. You read the Chumash, which is screaming at us, what are you doing in Bergenfield? What are you doing in Teaneck? What are you doing in New Milford? Why are you not in Eretz Yisrael? And like, but it's not talking to me. It's talking to someone else. You read a Musar Sefer, and you read a Gemara, it's not us. There's this invisible inscription that creates this passive relationship. So of course I read the Chumash, of course I learn the Daf, of course I study Musar. But there's a part of me that doesn't really allow it to enter. This notion, concludes Rabbi Steinsaltz, this notion that the book is addressing someone else, that it is practically irrelevant for us. And Rabbi Steinsaltz was a stark person. He wrote in a strong way. This notion must be erased from those invisible inscriptions. Whether it is the Torah, a Musar text, or the Gemara, the inscription should be the exact converse. Everything that is written here refers not to Jews who lived in past times, but to contemporary Jews. In other words, the content of this book applies to me. And friends, that's how we have to read Eicha. This is not a historical recollection. This is not a report. This is not remembering a distant relative suffering. The tale of suffering that we're about to read is our story. Rabbi Nachum Strauss was a Holocaust survivor. He found himself one Shabbos near Baltimore visiting his daughter. He comes to Shalas Shudas, a little shul. People didn't know him there. This elderly Jew walks in. People say good Shabbos to him. One of the lay leaders of the shul strikes up a conversation with him. They're sitting Shalas Shudas time. And they're talking, and he's asking this fellow, tell me about yourself, tell me about your life. He starts taking him back to his childhood in Europe. And he tells him he's a survivor of the Holocaust. Describes how he lost his entire family during the Shoah, during the war. Shalas Shudas time, the last couple of moments of Shabbos, a very inspiring time. Rava de Ravin, a heilige time of Shabbos. So this lay leader, he turns to this fellow, Menachem Strauss, and he says to him, you know, maybe you could share, if it's not too much to ask, maybe you can share an inspiring story from that harrowing time in your life. And he said, Menachem Strauss, he said, this fellow, I don't know if he's alive, he's not, no longer alive, I don't know. He said, Menachem Strauss, and he asked in innocence, he wanted to know, to take me back, inspire us, give us a glimpse, share a story from that time. Menachem Strauss became so red in the face, he became so angry, and he started screaming. In the middle of Shalosh, he started screaming. There was a private conversation the two of them were having on the side. He starts screaming. He says, is that all of this is? Is that what we're talking about here? Is this just a bunch of stories? That's what it is? It's like good. It's good material to inspire you at a Shalosh Shudas? That's what it is to you? You want me to share an interesting story, an inspiring story? It's just a bunch of stories. That's what my life has become. Losing my family in the Holocaust, that's what it is for you? And he said, everyone looked up. Total silence in the room. Everything stopped. And he didn't share a story. He didn't share a recollection. He didn't let people into that painful world that he was harboring within. But Lamaisa, people were looking for a memory, something to hold on to, and he gave it to them. He gave them marching orders. And again, it's the avoda that we have. It's the marching orders for us sitting here on the floor on Tisha B'Av, Tafshin Pei Beis. That we're not about to read a story. We're not about to read a story. We're not about to read even a family member's story. We're reading our story. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu story. It has to be deeply, deeply personal to us. So going back to what I began with, this year, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us the opportunity on the 9th of Av not to observe Tisha B'Av. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want you to be observers. I don't want you to be people who are just watching. You're not watching Tisha B'Av. You know, I say every year, the mixed feelings I have about the outpouring of content that we have. On the one hand, you could say it's gevaldik. You know, there's so many ways. People for so many decades maybe didn't feel anything. Now you can watch 153 videos to try to inspire yourself, to try to feel something. But so much of it just, it takes us behind that camera, puts us behind the lens. Instead of throwing down the microphone, throwing down the camera and saying, putting yourself into the story, to jumping in. I don't want to be an observer of Tisha B'Av. I don't want to watch Tisha B'Av. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to feel it. I want you to experience it in a real way. The Gemara at the end of Makos, Rabbi Akiva's on, looking over Har Abayis. He sees a fox running around, and Rabbi Akiva turns to his contemporaries who are crying and says, it's okay, I can see beyond this moment. We all know the story at the end of Maseches Makos. Rabbi Yeshua's crying, Rabbi Akiva's laughing. Sam Sofer says there's a fundamental machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva and the Gemara and Megillah and the Afyurim at Aleph. Does the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash remain today? Rabbi Akiva holds that the Kedusha of Beis HaMikdash is no longer present in Beis HaMikdash. So maybe, says the Chassam Sofer, that's how Rabbi Akiva can look at it and he can laugh because it's not so tragic in what he sees before his eyes. Interesting take the Chassam Sofer has. Rabbi Yeshua says, Kitchen l'shasa v'kitchen l'asid lavu, the Kedusha is still there. I can't bear to watch a fox running around in the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the Chassam Sofer reminds us, even though all year round we read that Gemara and we get the chizik from Rabbi Akiva, but at least on Tisha B'Av, let's remind ourselves that we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua. Which means that we don't have the Nechama of Rabbi Akiva. We can't say Akiva Nicham Tanu, Akiva Nicham Tanu. And that's what we're about to read in just another minute and a half in the fifth parak of Eicha, as we begin Megillas Eicha. We're going to read in the last chapter of Eicha. Al zeh hayadav libeinu al eila chashchu einenu. You know why we have to be so sad? What happened to the Akiva Nicham Tanu? Where's the Nechama? Al hartzion sheshomeim shualim hilchuba. That we look at Har Tzion, we see foxes running around on the Temple Mount. Yeah, but Rabbi Akiva gave us perspective. It says Pasuk Yutes, Ata Hashem la'olam teishev, kisacha l'dor vador. Says the Chassam Sofer, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua, Ata, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, la'olam teishev, you're still there. This is still your place. And now there's a mosque on top of Kodesh Kadashim. Kisacha l'dor vador. We can't say Akiva Nicham Tanu, Akiva Nicham Tanu. We have to be terribly pained. We have to realize this is happening in real time. This is not a thing of the past. The Nechama that we're going to get over the course of the next 24 hours, the fact that we're not going to say Tachton tomorrow because there's an element of Moed. Rav Mordechai Yehuda Lubart was a Gera Chassid learned in Yeshivas Chachme Lublin, he says that Nechama is the fact that after 2,000 years we still care. But I'll add that that Nechama is only as good as the degree that we care. We're not going to say Tachlin tomorrow. There's a celebratory element that, oh, Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael still is bothered. We still care. After 2,000 years, it still means something to us. We're still feeling in a real way. But if we're going to tap into that, then we have to really feel in a real way. And if we could be zochet to put down our cameras and to put down our microphones and to not, again, read the text as an outsider, but to be it, to experience it in real time, the same way that our neshama was at our Sinai, our neshama was there. The same way, behold, the Dor Chayav Adam Lira says, Atzmo, ki ilu hu yatsa, maschil beginus, b'sayim b'shevach. You have to go through that whole emotional roller coaster ride in order to get there. But if we can allow ourselves to be present, to read it as our story, not just a bunch of old stories of inspiring stories or harrowing tales. And when Bizocha, like the Navi Zachariah says, that the Tzom HaChamishi, the fast of the fifth month of Chodesh Av, Yel Lebeis Yehuda, Lesosun, Lesimcha, Ulmoadim Tov.